All right. You guys like my pink shirt? Yeah? It's actually not pink. It's salmon. It's salmon, so. All right. Well, if you would, open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1 as we finish up here. We're going to actually crank through this pretty quickly, so let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you, dear God, for just the awesome time that we've had to be able to worship you, to be able to learn and grow in your word, to be able to be just fun and crazy and show that Christians can actually have fun. We thank you, dear God, for your grace and your mercy, which are new every morning. And we pray for our time together. In your name, amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to be looking at Jeremiah's running shoes, how the Lord called him to go. We've looked at Gideon and his boots, his combat boots, and how God told him to stand up and do what's right. Tear down those altars. We've looked at Rebecca and how she remained pure in her wedding shoes. And then we looked at Jesus last night and how he was about his father's business. And now God calls Jeremiah to put on his running shoes and to run and to go and to live for him and to do the things that God calls him to do. We're going to be looking at three main points. We're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5, where we're going to be talking about your head and what you need to know. Verse 6, we're going to be talking about your heart and what you need to feel. And verse 7 and 8, we're going to be talking about your hands and what you need to do. And as we do that, let's hop in and read. Verse 4, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And then I said, "Oh, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am just a youth." And the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." What's going on right now is the nation of Israel is broken up into two kingdoms. You have these two separate kingdoms that are going. You have Israel in the north, and then you have Judah in the south. They were divided. Kings were coming up, and they were living, and they were dying off, and they were being good, and they were being bad, mostly bad. You had a lot of bad kings that were reigning. Long gone are the days of David and King Solomon. And Jeremiah comes up on the scene, and the nation of Judah is in disgrace. It's falling apart. People aren't living for God. The kings are just not doing what's right. And at this time, the nation of Israel had fallen away from God, so much so that they were worshiping a false god by the name of Molech. He was a horrible, horrible, demonic, pagan, anti-God, anti-life type of a god. What they would do is they would create this image of Molech out of stone, and in the back they would carve out the back of Molech or whatever it might be, and he would have his hands placed like this, and they would carve out his back, and they would put wood in there, and then they would light it on fire until Molech, the statue, would become like just blazing, you know, kind of like a stove. And they would put their newborn babies into Molech's hands as he was on fire, basically, and they would singe and fry their babies alive to worship this god. Pagan, demonic. And Jeremiah is on the scene, and he's like, wow, look at this place. He's a teenager at this time. He's roughly around the age of 17 years old. And God calls him to do something great and something amazing. We live in a time where we as humans and as Americans can pursue whatever it is that we want. We even have it in our Declaration of Independence, right? We have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So if food makes you happy, man, go eat as much food as you want. If sex makes you happy, then go have as much sex as you want. But what we've come to see and what we've come to realize is that those things don't make people happy. You've got every single kind of diet out there to get people to lose their weight because they thought food made them happy. You have Atkins and South Beach, and there's even one called the Hallelujah Diet, which is weird. I don't know. I don't know if you like eat honey and grasshoppers or something like John the Baptist. It's a weird diet. You've got tons of other things out there. They even have a diet by Dr. Phil. Because nothing says diet like Dr. Phil, right? I mean, really? Right? If having sex makes you happy, don't you think the prostitute would be the happiest person on earth? I was watching a 2020 Dateline thing the other night, a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about prostitution in America. And these ladies were so sad. So sad. And my wife and I were sitting there watching it, and you just felt so sad for them because they're not happy. They just want someone to love them. And Jeremiah was living in a culture where people were pursuing what they wanted. People were doing what they wanted to do. They were living the way they wanted to live. And God calls him to do something great and amazing. And God calls him to stand up for what's right and to speak the truth. Now, here's something about Jeremiah that not many people might know, or you might not know necessarily, but Jeremiah didn't have an amazing ministry. He wasn't a guy that, you know, started a church and thousands of people came. He wasn't a guy that held a crusade and packed stadiums. He was known as the weeping prophet because he was always crying. I don't know if it's because he didn't have any friends, but he was always crying. Most likely it's because his heart broke. His heart broke for Israel and the state that they were in. Throughout Jeremiah's ministry, we never see in the entire book really one conversion. We don't see one person come to the Lord because of his ministry. The nation of Israel was so much so divided that people started leaving Judah and going to Egypt. And we see towards the end of the book, Jeremiah follows them to Egypt to minister to them, but no one really turns back. He gets offered a position in Babylon, but he turns that down so he can remain in Judah. We really don't see this great, amazing ministry, but yet here he is on the pages of Scripture, a man that God called as a teenager to do an amazing work. So let's look at the head. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." God formed him. God knew him. God created him. He created him with a reason and with a purpose. God knew everything about him. He formed him in his mother's womb. And the exact same is with you guys. He formed you. He created you. He created you with a purpose, with a goal, to live for him, to worship him. He knows our little quirks. He knows our little things. He knows where we like to stuff our socks when we don't want to put them away. He knows every little thing about us. He knows our secret sins. He knows our fears. He knows our passions. He knows our loves and our desires. He created us with purpose, with dignity, with value, with worth. And he created us, most importantly, in his image. He created us in his image. God has a plan for each and every single one of you. For Jeremiah, he called him to be a prophet. For you guys, he might call you to something else. For Jeremiah, he told him to put on his running shoes and go. For some of you guys, he might be telling you to put on your shoes and go. He created some of you to be missionaries. He created some of you to be pastors. He created some of you to be pastors' wives. He created some of you to be hairstylists and janitors and business workers and bankers. He created you for a purpose, to do his work, to live for him, to praise his precious and holy name. The question is will you go? He formed him. What Jeremiah needed to know is that God had created him. What you need to know in your head is that God created you for a reason and for a purpose. Look at verse 6, what you need to feel within your heart. He says, "Oh Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am just a youth." What you need to feel is not excuses, but the call of Jesus. Not excuses, but the call of Jesus, the heart of Jesus. Oh, well, God can't use me. I'm just a sixth grader. I'm just a sixth grader. What's God going to do with me? God can't use me. I'm just a senior. Look, that's for my pastors. That's for, you know, Calvary of Albuquerque. That's for them. God can't use me. I have to go. I have to go to college. I got to get a diploma. And then maybe afterward, you know, God can use me after that. No. No. I'm amazed at the excuses that people give me to serve. Well, I'm too young. I'm not qualified. I'm not, you know, that smart, or I don't know the Bible that well. I'm supposed to be having fun right now, you know. This is my fun time. I'll get serious about God later on. The thing is that God has called us to live for him. Guys, God begins the ministry for you to take over when you were born. God began the calling in your life before your mom even knew you. God knows everything about you. He gave you the abilities. He gave you your personality for a reason. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Not everyone will be a teacher. Not everyone will be a worship leader, but we all have our part. We all have our part to live for him. We can greet people when they come into youth group. We can help clean up after service. We can go and pray with the elderly in nursing homes. We can go and we can minister to our friends. We can come to our youth pastors and say, "Hey, I just want to be used. Put me to work." And it might be just sweeping. "Well, I wasn't created to sweep." Well, it's in those things that God will begin to show you. He'll begin to show you great and amazing things of what he's called you to do. When I was at Calvary Rio Rancho, I was so excited about getting the opportunity to be able to be in ministry. And so I got there and I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to be the youth pastor. It's going to be awesome." And they handed me a mop and a broom and some gloves to clean the toilets. And that's what I did for 3 years. I spent 20 hours a week doing high school ministry, and another 20 hours a week cleaning the church as the church janitor. And I was so frustrated. I'm supposed to be doing great and awesome things. And it was in those times of me cleaning the toilet that has been used by 1,000 people on a Sunday morning that I really learned humility and really learned to really thank God for latex gloves and for the life he's given me. Be willing to serve in whatever capacity. be willing to come and give. If you have money, give money. If you enjoy cooking, help cook. If you have the gifts of help, then help out. Serve. Serve in some capacity. God made us for a reason and for a purpose. And we can't be giving lame excuses. Well, I'm just a teenager. God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to an entire nation at 17. An entire nation. That's a big deal. That's a big task. And he's just like, hey, I can't talk. I'm just a youth. I'm just a teenager. And God says in verse 7 through 8, where we look at the hands and what you need to do, the Lord says, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. What you need to do is go. Hopefully you've torn down altars in your life. Hopefully you've tried to make a commitment to be pure. Hopefully you've remembered where Jesus was in your heart and in your life. And now it's time to go. To go. It can't just stay here in this weekend. It can't just stay in this room. It can't just be whenever you wear your awesome pink shirts. It can't. It has to follow you guys out into your schools, into your homes, into your communities. It has to go with you. Why? Because most importantly, God is with you. I will be with you. I will tell you what to speak. He doesn't want our excuses. You might be able to give me excuses. You might be able to give your youth pastors or your leaders excuses. You know, I'm washing my hair this week. I can't really do it. You know, it's kind of hard. I got to get my nails done. But God knows. I can't really talk to those people, you know, because God, those people are scary. They're Raiders fans. They smoke cigarettes and commit felonies. Like, I can't talk to them. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to blog about me. Like, Lord, I can't. I can't go talk to them. I have to watch Dancing with the Stars. Like, that's important. God doesn't want our excuses. Why? Because he's the one that will go with us. He formed us. He knows those friends. He knows your enemies. He knows them and he loves them as well. He died for them as well. And it's easy to be fearful when we're trying to do something for the Lord and everyone else around us believes something different. But it's our awesome responsibility to represent God in life. For Jeremiah, he didn't have great hordes of friends around him. He didn't have a lot of, you know, community and you know, great self-esteem groups around him, building him up or anything like that. But he knew that the Lord was with him and he went. And he went and did what God called him to do. God said, I was going to use you. I'm going to be with you. God created you guys to live for him. Jeremiah was a spokesman for his generation. And even though his generation didn't agree with him, he still spoke. For you guys, you're a spokesman and women to your generation. And even if your generation doesn't agree with what you have to say, you still need to speak. You still need to talk about things that are right and what's true and what's just and what's noble. And you can't allow excuses to rule your life. You need to serve. You need to go. You need to tell people. You need to tell people about Jesus. You need to tell people about his grace and his love and his mercy. You need to serve in your youth groups, in children's ministry, in, you know, Wednesday nights, in the flight crew. You need to serve. Serve in some capacity. Go and tell people. Are you going to tell your friends? Are you going to tell your family? Are you going to go out and live for Jesus? It's not going to be easy. For Jeremiah, it wasn't easy, but he did it. Someone once said that I would much rather have a rough road to heaven than a smooth path to hell. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. Jeremiah was probably scared. He was 17. God was calling him to be a prophet to the nations. He could have had excuses. But God was with him and he spoke. He spoke against injustice. He spoke against religiousness. He spoke against insecurity and dishonesty, adultery, tyranny, against the helpless. Imagine going and you're Jeremiah and you see a little baby frying on this foreign demonic god. I can't think of anything more pagan than that. To put your little baby that you brought into this world as a sacrifice to this god, just frying, crying out, screaming. And we have those types of things within our own society. And yet, we need to speak. We need to speak about what's right. Because guess what? You might not have a single convert. Your friends might reject you. But you're taking a stand and saying, you know what? I'm not too young. And I don't have an excuse. You might think you're unqualified to minister. But there are a lot of people in the Bible that could have said the same. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was undependable. Hosea married a prostitute. Amos only had the experience of a fig tree pruner. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon had too much money. Abraham was old. Timothy had ulcers. Joseph was a nuisance. Paul was ugly. Peter was a coward. Lazarus, the guy was dead. John was self-righteous. Jesus was homeless. Naomi was a widow. Jonah was disobedient. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas were doubters. Jeremiah was suicidal. Elijah suffered from depression. Paul was a murderer, and so was Moses, and not to mention David. John the Baptist, the guy dressed funny. Martha was a worrywart. Samson needed a haircut. Noah had a drinking problem. Moses had a short fuse. Zacchaeus was short. David was a teenager. And so was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so was Daniel. And so was so many other people that were used by God in great and amazing and powerful ways. And fortunately for us, God doesn't look at our age. He doesn't look at our skills or our abilities. He looks at our heart. And the fact is that no one is qualified to serve God. And if you think you're qualified, well, then guess what? You're going to fail. But God calls unqualified people because the only way they can be successful is if they depend on Him. Are we going to go? Are we going to put on our running shoes and quit putting up the excuses and go and live for Jesus in every single way? Are you going to lace up those running shoes and go? I hope you do. And I hope you've been encouraged this week. And I hope the Lord has spoken to you in one of these messages. I hope you know with your head, you feel with your heart, and then you go with your hands and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That He loves us, that He cares for us, that He died for us, and that He wants us to live for Him the best possible life that He has set for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we go, may we live for You. May we praise Your precious and holy name, and may we tell people about You, dear God. And I pray right now for each and every single one of the high school and junior high students that are in this room. I pray, dear God, that You would fill them with Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would empower them, that you would help them to go and tell their friends about you, tell their mom and dad about you, tell their brothers and sisters about you, their uncles, their aunts, their enemies, their strangers, that they would be totally excited and totally filled with your Holy Spirit to go and to tell people about you, that they would not have excuses, that they would not make up some sort of thing that they would try to cower away from, but that you would empower them with boldness and compassion to tell people about you. We thank you for this weekend. We thank you for this time, and we give you all the glory. And everyone said, amen.